Hello and welcome to another episode of Big Sad Fun. My name is James Johnson and I'm here with my co-host
Edward Dickey.
Edward, we are on Zoom today.
It's been a little bit since we've been able to record.
Well, this is becoming like a monthly podcast.
we're going to get better at it.
We are. I promise we are going to get better. This is actually, I think, our 30th episode. I said that last time, and it turned out to be our 29th. But we are quickly approaching our one-year anniversary.
We've recorded 30 because there was one that we lost.
That's true. So this is the 31st episode, but the 30th episode to go to air.
That one we recorded was good too.
Yeah, it really was. I mean, I recorded right over it like it was nothing.
Well, you know.
And we're on YouTube now. We have also moved to the YouTube world, sometimes with video and sometimes with just audio, but we're there. So making big moves. We're making big, sad, and fun moves here at Big Sad Fun. Let's jump into our big. I don't think we have had an episode since the NFL started. So
I don't think we've had an episode since preseason.
Yeah. So we have a lot to talk about today. Let's go.
Football's back, baby.
Our big football's back. Let's go. By the way, today is like the perfect fall day. I don't know if you have been outside today.
I coached a football game this morning.
Yeah. And it was like, it had the crispness in the air. There's always that first day when you walk out in the morning and it's crisp, you know, mm-hmm. but it's not cold.
It was 53 this morning. Amazing. Which is, and it was probably, I mean, it warmed up a little bit. Yeah. I'm not going to say it was, you know, 53 all game, but, you know, it warmed up.
How'd the game turn out for you, by the way?
We tied. We tied a much better team.
Okay. That's a win.
Well, I don't want to say better, but a really good team. We tied them 6-6.
All right.
So, you know, we're showing improvement.
All right.
It's been a tough year, but we're showing improvement.
You sound like the Falcons.
You know. There's something we said there.
So look, we're starting with the NFL. We're starting with football. Let's start with the Falcons. How do you feel about your Falcons? Game three is tomorrow. Week three starts.
And you know we're obviously 0-2.
Tough losses though.
Two games that like
you had them.
I hate to be the like. Well, we could be 2-0, but we could be 2-0 very easily.
Yeah.
And which I know is annoying to some fans, but like we've lost a Super Bowl like that we were up 28-3. We've got to just be numb to it. And I definitely have gotten numb to it, but the signs of improvement are promising. Because both of the teams that we've played are projected playoff teams.
Yeah. Yeah. And good teams.
Yeah. And I mean, the fact that we were just whooping up on the Saints, and you hate to lose that game at home,
and you almost came back and beat the Rams,
especially to them.
Yeah.
And I mean, but then almost coming back and beating the Rams on the road, I mean, that's
Super Bowl champs. That was pretty amazing.
And across the country, like that's a wild turn of events. I think tomorrow is going to be very interesting. We're playing the Seahawks
in Seattle, right? Yeah. I mean, you should win that game. I feel like you should win that game.
So it's going to, I think with Seattle, it's going to come to, are they the team that beat Russell Wilson or are they the team that we saw last week?
Well, it looks like Russell Wilson's struggling on his own, right? The Denver Broncos anyway. So
yeah, I mean,
today that his tenure there in Denver is becoming a joke. It's becoming like a,
well, it's a little early.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I mean,
I will say a lot of the Falcons fans that I have talked to have been really encouraged by what they've seen, actually. So the team looks,
I think,
like they're moving in the right direction.
I think Arthur Smith clearly is the right guy.
Yeah.
And now it's one thing, like, I do think if Mariota, and he's been good, but, you know, it's if he doesn't drop a snap against the Saints, we win. If he makes a better throw, we win. You know, so it's like it's a lot of.
There's a reason why
is Marcus Mariota good enough? And I think if we lose tomorrow, the Desmond Ridder cries are going to get a lot louder.
Pretty loud. Are you on that bandwagon of trying to?
Not yet.
Do that?
I don't necessarily like throwing young quarterbacks to the wolves.
Yeah.
When you don't have to, but I do think we need to get him in to see what we have.
Yeah, absolutely.
You think like, because it's going to, because it's interesting because I don't know where our season's going to go, whether or not we're going to have a great draft pick or not.
Yeah.
But it's like, do we need to draft a quarterback first round next year, or do we have the guy?
Right.
And if we have the guy on a third round, rookie deal, awesome. Let's build around that. Cause I mean, next year we're going to have $100,000 or $100 million in cap.
$100,000. Wow.
I mean, I'll take $100,000, but I don't think an NFL player is.
No, that's great.
Oh boy.
So it's looking good.
Now, speaking of college, Georgia is currently not playing as well as I want them to be.
Oh, no. Live report, breaking news. Kent State?
It's 10-19 and Kent State's moving.
Let's go.
I don't know if it's focusing, but I've got the game cast going.
That's awesome. Well, let's talk a little bit about my Cowboys.
There are two types of football coming on. Overall, I'm very happy with what I'm seeing from Georgia. And college football has been awesome so far.
You want to talk about minor league football on this podcast?
The games have been, you can call it minor league football, but those games have been amazing.
Well, it's always, when you get teenagers out there playing football, it looks like a lot of fun.
Hey, dude, I watch 12-year-olds play football and I get paid for it.
Hey, dude, I watch second and third graders play football while my daughter cheerleads from the sidelines.
I used to coach those.
All levels. It's just good to have football back. Go ahead.
Quick side story. I was coaching a 7-year-old football game that was a 0-0 tie, and the entire game took place in between the 30s. Neither team got, and at the end of it, I was like, why do we even do that? That was the most boring thing I've ever been a part of.
Well, you know, it's all for the kids. They're having a good time.
Exactly. But yeah, so and now this kind of is the same topic that we were doing in round one in the big.
Yeah.
However, you're sad is
Well,
Cowboys, man.
Yeah, good transition from big to sad, because it's still big and it's sad. But the Cowboys,
we have to stay within our gimmick.
You know, and I'm totally on board with that. So let's talk about sad. The Cowboys look like garbage. Number one, coming out the gate versus Tampa Bay, the entire time, it didn't matter who was playing quarterback. We were terrible out there. Didn't even score a touchdown. We're the only team in the NFL not to score a touchdown on opening week.
Really?
Yep. Scored 3 points. And our defense, here's some highlights. Defense played really well. Michael Parsons is a beast. He's got 4 sacks already through 2 games.
Man, he's gonna be something special.
And the defense played great, held Tom Brady and Tampa Bay to basically 4 field goals and then a late touchdown. Defense looks great. Dak Prescott looked terrible coming out. I don't know if you watched the game or not, but he was throwing balls like even more so than normal. It's just all over the place. The kid can't play. And I've said that from day one. He's just not accurate. He's got a lot of things about him, intangibles and whatnot, that are good as a quarterback. I
definitely think that he is one of the best 32 quarterbacks.
I see. And I can't even say that, because here's the thing.
Like, I think if Dallas were to drop him, he would get picked up.
I think so. And I think that's exactly what should happen.
There's Carl Wentz is playing football somewhere.
So here's the thing, though. So watching that entire first game versus Tampa Bay, I was just livid at the way Dak is playing. And it didn't surprise me. It's the way he always played. And when you take away receivers that can make, you know, great catches like Amari Cooper and Michael Gallup not being out there, obviously he's going to get worse. And that's exactly
And I think that's the same with pretty much every quarterback.
Exactly. Well, that's fine. But here's what happened.
Yeah.
He got hurt. At the very end of the game, he got hurt. He broke his thumb, something like that.
Which, obviously, T's and P's.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, sure. I hope the kid gets better. But here's the thing. Here's the thing. His prognosis is he's out anywhere from 3 weeks to 8 weeks, and who knows what's going to happen, right?
I don't think a doctor has said. I think Jerry Jones said he's going to be back in 4 weeks, but yeah. I think every
well, Jerry Jones was even talking like he could come back this week, and so that's all like it's all propaganda. I understand Jerry Jones is like, please continue to watch us. We're still the Dallas Cowboys. I understand that. So yeah, he's probably not coming back for at least 6 weeks, and that's fine because our guy, our backup, the one that no one even heard of, the guy we cut at the end of preseason, we cut him at the end of preseason and signed him from the practice squad on Saturday before he played on Sunday. All right, so he's with the team all week. He's with the team all week practicing. No backup. We didn't have a backup.
Really?
Yeah.
What genius thought that was a good idea?
Well, it's a pay structure thing where basically we cut from the 53-man roster our backup quarterback and put him on the practice squad. He plays on the practice squad all week long, and then you bring him up to the 53-man roster on Saturday, and you only have to pay him for the game check. You don't have to pay him for the week. Yeah, it's great, right? So Cooper Rush.
So what happens if Cooper Rush gets hurt?
We have another guy that they're doing the same thing with now. Matt Greer, I think is his name.
Will Greer.
Will Greer, yeah.
Yeah, he played at Florida.
He's fun. He's a fun quarterback. He's a lot more fun to watch than Cooper Rush. But here's what I'll say. Cooper Rush, who's been with the team now for 5 years, he's had two starts with the Dallas Cowboys, and he's won both of those games. So he came in last week. He ran the offense efficiently. He threw the ball where it needed to go. I'm sure the wide receivers are like, oh, my gosh, the ball actually landed near where the route was going, and that's amazing. Now, he's not – you know, I know that Tony Romo kept calling him a gunslinger on the broadcast, which I don't think he is, but he is efficient. He knows
the offense. Sometimes just saying stuff.
I know, right? You know, I wish he'd just come down from the booth and get a jersey on. Let's go. But I'm actually
– what he's getting paid there.
I was very encouraged by the play of Cooper Rush. It is sad in the sense that our starting quarterback is out, but I think it might actually be a silver lining.
I also think, like, I think this week is going to be a better tell.
Yeah.
Because
– Monday Night Football.
On him.
Mm-hmm. Monday Night Football against the Giants.
Why do y'all get Monday Night Football all the time?
We get like six nationally televised games a year, and then even when we're not nationally televised, the second game, the game of the week, is usually us too. So I'm just good to be a Dallas Cowboy fan. Everybody wants to see Dallas.
Well, I mean, you know, it's branding. It's
whereas the Falcons play at 1 o'clock every Sunday.
Well, you know, we played at 4 this week, and I didn't like it.
It's because you're playing on the West Coast.
Yeah, I didn't like it one bit. Put me back at 1.
You want to be done with your misery by 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock on Sunday
afternoon. Well, I want to go from church to football.
Yeah.
To dinner.
Yeah. You know, and that's one of the things about I grew up in the Central Time Zone. So whenever Dallas did play at the 1 o'clock slot, it was actually at noon. And so everyone was like, you know, it's time to get out of here, preacher. It's time to go. We still got to pick up some lunch and then head back and watch the boys. I will say this, though. Another sad is the offensive line is still a little shaky, and our running game, Ezekiel Elliott, is done, as far as I can tell.
You know, I had a feeling that it was going to come early for him with how many carries he was getting when he was a rookie.
Yeah.
I mean, I think running backs – and a running back's not named Derrick Henry.
Right, which the wheels – I think the wheels will eventually come off there too, but
– Oh, eventually, but he's still
– But Zeke looks strong. Like – Zeke
but,
looks like
you, you brought up a name that I wanted to ask you about. Brady hasn't looked good this season.
And I can't tell.
And physically, I mean, he's seemingly lost a lot of weight. He doesn't look healthy.
He doesn't. And he's got some.
I mean, I don't know if the avocados have gone bad in the avocado ice cream.
Well, he's got some kind of personal trauma or drama going on in his life right now with his.
I mean, I think there's. And I mean, we're not going to sit up here and
be the
housewives. I'm pulling up his stats right now.
Yeah, he has even his press conferences. He looks really skinny, thin, and his game has not been the typical game. Now he's 45 years old, and at some point the wheels fall off. But you got some stats.
But you don't usually go from because he looks
a Peyton Manning.
I mean, obviously he didn't win in his prime last year.
Right, and he threw for a career high last year though.
So he's thrown 2 touchdowns and 1 interception.
That's it, huh?
And 402 yards.
Who did he play last week? They played. I know this because, as I said, the Cowboys played him pretty well.
Saints.
Okay. And the Saints have a pretty good defense now, too, don't they? I mean, it's a lot better than it used to be. So he's gone up against some serious competition.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's a tough. But, you know, he's supposed to be
the GOAT.
Exactly. And, I mean, I don't know. He should have retired.
Let me ask you this.
And if what we're seeing now continues, he should have retired.
Well, let me ask you this. If he continues to play the way he's playing, do you think there's a chance he doesn't finish the season?
Yes.
Yeah, that would be shocking. And yeah, not surprising. No,
okay. I don't think that he just says
he just walks away. Is what I'm saying.
I think he says that there's an injury.
Oh, there's a cover.
Yeah, that's. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
Like,
he doesn't just step away.
Some similar to what Jameis Winston was doing in the Falcons game.
Yeah.
When the Falcons were just beating him, and all of a sudden he was just like going into the tent. He's like, he's looking for a way out. But, you know, jumping back to the big, yeah. Another thing I've been very happy with is the pass rush of the Falcons so far.
Yeah, man.
Because in the fact that there is one.
That first half that you guys played, you got like three sacks. At four sacks. And then it's kind of teetered off since then. Then the three halves since then.
Hey, man, but still. We had like 17 last year as a team.
Yeah. Like I said, you guys are getting better. You look like you're a fun team to watch, which is, I think, also important. Yes. It's not necessarily that you win.
The emergence of Drake London so far has been great. He's and it's hard to
keep him
say.
Out of the casino and it should be okay. Man, could you imagine if you get Calvin really back, if he decides to come back, or if you guys decide to bring him back?
Yeah, if we keep him as a Falcon, like that's
a great wide receiver.
With Kyle Pitts, Drake London, and Calvin. And then, you know, there's a good chance we keep Cordell Patterson.
Yeah.
Because out of the structure of this podcast, it says broken down.
Yeah,
That's all right. But because Cordell Patterson, apparently at 30 years old, realized that he's one of the best running backs in football.
Yeah.
Which is awesome, but
we can say that's sad. It took him so long. It's sad that it took him so long to figure that out.
Yeah, but he looks great.
He does.
But now here's the real thing, though, is in 2 years, you're going to want the number one pick to pick up Brock Bowers at Georgia. but yeah, so I think this week's going to be interesting for the Cowboys because once there's some tape out on him,
yeah,
it's going to be interesting to see how defenses react to it.
We should we should watch the game together.
Where is it? Or when is it?
It's Monday night. Monday night.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. So
yeah, you said that. Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
If we figure out a way to get together and watch that, maybe we could do a little broadcast.
That'd be super down.
Yeah. Because I hate
ready
the
for the. You ready for the fun?
Let's go. Let's have some fun. What's up?
Albert Pujols.
Yeah.
700, right. Baby.
So this is amazing. He's the fourth guy ever to do this. I remember, I don't know how I've been following Albert Pujols' career for his entire life, his entire career, just because he and I are the same age, number one.
Mm-hmm.
But also, secondly, he played for the Cardinals forever and ever and ever before he went to the Angels. And I was a huge Cubs fan. And I still am a huge Cubs fan. But watching Pujols come in and just dominate the Cubs year after year after year after year. And there was so much said about him very early on in his career. Like, this is the next guy who's going to do it. I know he started to flourish at the same time that A-Rod was doing his thing. And then all the scandals came out and A-Rod became a pariah, you know, for the Major League Baseball.
I was very happy when he passed A-Rod.
Me too. Absolutely. Here's what's funny is like I was saying. So I've spent 20 years watching this guy, and the first half of it, at least, I hated him. I remember I went to see the Cubs play at Wrigley Field in 2010. And there was a guy outside selling T-shirts, homemade T-shirts that said, "Pujols is the name of my lawn boy," right? And I remember thinking, that's terrible. But also, like, this is how Cubs fans feel about Pujols. And yet now, even this past month, I've been cheering him on. I've been wanting him to get there. In fact, you know that I've been saying, if he gets to 700, he should come back in DH another year and go for Babe Ruth.
You know, I think if 715 was still the all-time record, I would say yes.
There's still something about catching Babe Ruth. And in a lot of people's minds, that's still like the mark, just because it's Babe Ruth. Hank Aaron is the true mark, and nobody cares about the other guy, the steroids guy. But I'm not even going to mention his name.
I do think that, like,
but something
he,
about
he does hold the record, though.
He does. Absolutely. Well, then, yeah.
I mean, that's like, fine. Yeah.
So, but what we're finding out about these all-time records, though, is that everybody in their head has their own kind of headcanon about it. Like, who is actually important? I think Hank Aaron is the absolute, in my mind, he's the guy who owns the record. And I'm happy and confident about that. But there's still something about mystical about being able to catch Babe Ruth.
Yeah. Right? Well, and, you know, we still have some time this season.
That's true.
And I don't know. I've been really caught up in the Braves playoff race, which we...
Where are we looking at right now?
We got to get going. This past month has been tough.
You keep it within two. You got the last series, right?
Yeah,
the
season? Yeah, but we got shellacked last night, and that was bad.
Again? Didn't you lose like 1-0 on?
Yeah, man. And then we lost like 9-1.
Oh my
gosh. The bats have just gone absolutely silent. And you know, at other times in the season, whenever this happens, we bring up somebody and then there's a huge jolt. And there was a huge jolt. We brought up Ozzie Albies and then he got hurt. Yeah. But it's kind of, we need to keep Ozzie around the club. But also I think, Acuña is going to come off injury tonight, and he should be playing, and that's going to be a big boost for us. I digress. I don't know where the Cardinals are in the playoff push.
I think they're still in it.
But, I mean, you know, if we could see a Pujols playoff run, that'd be awesome.
That would be cool.
He could get – Pretty close.
Maybe. I don't know. Do postseason home runs even count in career stats?
Yeah. They do? Shoot, yeah.
Okay. All right. I wasn't sure about that.
Speaking
of home runs, so let's talk a little bit about Aaron Judge hitting 61. Yeah, I think you want to say that. That's fun.
That's also really – it's fun to see these two home run chases going on at the same time. It's
like a resurgence, man. Man, baseball died. Let me just say this real quick. Baseball died in 1994 during the strike. And when I was a freshman in college, 1998, the home run chase between Mark McGwire and Sammy Sosa, especially because it was the Cardinals and the Cubs, and I was a huge Cubs fan, was amazing. We kept a tally outside my dorm room on who had what during the season.
Oh, that's awesome.
And it was a lot of fun. And understanding that all of that was tainted by steroids, and yet everyone was doing steroids, so I don't know how tainted it actually is. But understanding how tainted that was, it did bring life back to the game. And you talk about fun. That was the most fun, other than the 2016 World Series. That was the most fun I've ever seen, had watching baseball and watching the Cubs. So I'm just saying, what's great about this happening right now with Aaron Judge and Pujols, even though they're not really.
And that's kind of like what makes this more remarkable about Pujols. Because I feel like it'd be really hard to do steroids now in baseball.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I feel like the testing's got to be crazy.
It's got to be. No doubt somebody probably is.
I'm sure.
And I don't know. There's never been any allegations about Pujols, though, right? I mean, he's clean as far as we know.
I do know that once they started testing really heavily, his numbers dropped.
Is that a coincidence?
But it's also he got older. You know, I mean, there's
all kinds of reasons.
But, like, he's never failed a test.
Yeah.
And he's never been one of the main guys doing steroids.
You know, one of the things that kind of jumped out to me as we were watching this, as he approached 700, he passed A-Rod, who has like 696. Why did A-Rod not go for 700? Because no one cared?
I think after it all came out that he was doing steroids, I don't think he liked not being liked anymore.
Yeah.
And not that he was ever someone who was super loved.
He was early in his career, man. Very early when he was with Ken Griffey Jr. in Seattle. Those were fun times. It was fun.
I think the contract he took with the
Rangers.
Yeah, I think that was kind of when everybody was like, oh, screw this guy.
250. I remember being just like, this is a ridiculous amount of money.
So and now it's like a normal contract.
Yeah. Nothing.
But yeah, I think it was the season ended and he realized that he couldn't use steroids to rehab anymore.
Yeah.
Because that's like the main thing that steroids do is recovery.
You're right.
Like, and if you were, you know, 38 and just played a baseball game, you could take steroids and not be sore anymore.
Yeah.
But not that I've ever done steroids, but.
But, you know, that sounds very tempting just to be 42 and doing a regular day of work and coming home and being like, let me recover for tomorrow. Be honest.
Do you think Northside's going to start testing you?
Wait a minute. Now, you've been teaching Bible studies on PEDs. This is a disqualification. Disqualification. Interpretation of Matthew is invalid. You're out. You're out of the game, man.
That'd be hysterical. But one other fun thing of note, a show that you and I both really like, and we've probably talked about on here a thousand times, Ted Lasso.
Ted Lasso.
He's coming to FIFA. They're making AFC Richmond a playable team. And I mean, I saw that and I was like, well, I got to get FIFA now.
That's amazing. Dude, I used to love playing FIFA on my PlayStation 2.
It's a fun game.
I haven't played a game console in forever, though.
Now I have an excuse. You are an adult. You can go to Target and change
it. I can just go get one. Yeah. I don't have to wait for my mom to buy it for me.
Yeah,
maybe I'll ask Santa for Christmas.
Well, I would do that. See what he does.
That's awesome, though. Yeah. So you can actually play the team with the actual players on.
Yeah, and like they actually like.
I bet they're not good.
Did like a full 3D render of them. I'll be interested to see how they're ranked or how they're rated.
Yeah.
And I think you can do like a season with them, or like, you know, take them over for like a. And so people are going to have like a super stacked AFC Richmond. It's going to be wild to see.
Fun. When's season 3 coming out? Do we know?
No.
Okay. I love that show.
No idea. Your girlfriend asks me every time she sees me when it's coming out. And it's like, let me tell you what. The minute I know, you will know.
That's the closest thing she'll watch is anything related to sports. So we gotta lean into that. Maybe we get the video game. Maybe she'll play it.
There you go.
That's hilarious.
Georgia scored.
Oh, okay. What's the score? Give us an update.
25-13.
Okay, I feel like this is gonna be.
I
think we'll be fine.
Yeah.
Let's go, Dogs.
Good Dogs.
All right. Anything else for the people today?
I think I'm all set, man.
All right, man. Good show. That's your Big Sad Fun for this week. And we will be back next week, maybe with some live some live recording of watching
the Dallas Cowboys.
Some reaction from the Monday night game and NFL week 3. Edward, thanks a lot, man.
Hey, thank you.